And City Council meeting, November 10th, 2008. We're glad to see everyone here. Appreciate you for being here. And if you would, as we begin our meeting, stand with us for our prayer and our Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this evening. There are many in our country that are hurting. We just ask that you would guide and direct us here so that we could best serve the citizens here in Aiken. Give us the wisdom and discernment that we need, Lord, as we go through each and every one of the decisions tonight and those in the future. We thank you for all the employees and staff members that serve so well day in and day out. And just give us clarity, Lord, on all those things that you ask of us and guide us in all of our direction. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary tonight to our agenda? If not, do we have a motion and second to approve it as stands?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the agenda. Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Next item is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session and the regular meeting of October 27, 2008. Any discussion, comments on that, those minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second. Okay, we have a second. Okay, all in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Old business, first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have four reappointments tonight. Councilwoman Price would like to reappoint Larry Ogletree to the BZA, Valise Cummins to the Design Review Board, and Brian Parks, the Park Commission. And Councilmember Dewar would like to reappoint Peter Siha to the Planning Commission. These are the four appointments before council tonight.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second to these?
Move, Mr. Mayor, that we accept the recommendations of these appointments as submitted to council.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make some recommendations.
Sure.
If I could, I'd like to recommend the reappointment of Henry Krippner to the Board of Zoning Appeals and also of Liz Stewart to the Planning Commission, please. And both of those are with us here tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any others?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have Robert Brookshire, who is currently serving on the Building Appeals Committee, is going to be leaving that committee, and he is going to replace John on the Recreation Commission.
Bill Calder?
Yeah, John Grayton. So that's been long pending. Unfortunately, John has been quite ill, and he feels he could no longer serve. And then on the Environmental Committee, John Halpert, who has been serving on it very well for the last several years, has decided to retire from the field. And I propose Ron Delamora, who has some interesting background in environment.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir. Any others?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to announce the appointment of Patricia Andrega to replace Mary Ellen Krippner on the Arts Commission. Mary Ellen is here with us, and again, I would publicly thank her for the years of service she's rendered to the community, and formally nominate Mrs. Andrega, who did attend the last meeting of the Arts Commission.
Okay, any others?
Yes, I would like to reappoint Judy Turner to the Board of Zoning Appeals and Wilkins Bird to the Planning Commission.
Okay. All right. All right. Any others? If not, we certainly appreciate all of our volunteers that serve on all of our committees, and we take this time to thank Liz and Henry and for your service, and Mary Ellen. Also, thank you so much. You were in the beginning, if I'm not mistaken, on the charter. So thank you so much for your work. Okay. Well, those nominations will be on the agenda next meeting. Item 2, under old business, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1012 Gregg Highway. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by the title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.66 acres of land, more or less, owned by HPG LLC, and to zone the same general business GB. This property is across from the Huddle House and next to Burger King. Once we annex this, it will also be added to the property next to it, which is the former salon there. And the major area, if we looked at this property and the size of the property, would be, does it need a traffic survey or not? They are willing to go ahead and limit the number of trips per day from this development to no more than 2,000. So if they came back to us at some point in time, let's say wanted to put a convenience gas station there, we would have to tell them, no, you couldn't put that there because it would exceed that 2,000 cars per day. With that, 2,000 cars or less per day, and the fact that the Gregg High, which it faces, is a level of service C, they are not required to do a traffic study. And we felt that would fit in with our requirements. There are 7 conditions concerning this annexation, which are as follows: that the plat be submitted, join the lot with the adjacent lot to the east, that there will only be one curb cut for the two lots combined, that the curb cut, if at all possible, be aligned with that opposite Huddle House, that the curb cut meet the provisions of the access management ordinance to the extent practical, that the proof of recording of a restricted covenant at the RMC office permanently limiting the total number of net new vehicle trips by all uses on the site to fewer than 2,000, that the owner sign an agreement with the city listing any conditions, that the agreement be recorded at the RMC office, and that all conditions be met within 180 days, the annexation will be null and void. This had first reading at your last meeting, and this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 0.66 acres at 1012 Gregg Highway. Okay. Zone GB.
Thank you, sir. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to make comments about it, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Do we know what the current traffic load is from what is existing at the site?
How many trips per day are on Gregg Highway?
Yeah, right now.
Not
no, I mean from, well, I'm going back to your comment that the number of net new vehicle trips by all users on the site to fewer than 2,000. Do we know what it is before the net new 2,000 limit is imposed?
I do not, unless Ed knows.
Well, now one of those buildings is empty.
So right now it's zero.
So it's nothing there.
The whole idea is that
may answer the question.
Yeah, it takes care of that.
The total number of trips that are going to be generated there, depending on the square foot and the size of the building they propose, has to be less than 2,000 trips per day.
Oh, that's fine then.
But in fact, it's going to be loading onto Richland.
This traffic will be going onto Gregg Highway, which means you go towards Granville or towards Richland Avenue. So it'll have two different directions it could go.
But,
yeah, it's real close to that traffic light there on Richland. Okay, do we have a motion and a second on this?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the annexation of this property at 1012 Gregg Highway with the 7 following conditions. Okay. On second reading.
Okay. Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Under new business, first item is the first reading of an ordinance regarding abandoned vehicles. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this again by title only. It's an ordinance amending Chapter 42 of the City Code of Aiken, South Carolina, regarding abandoned vehicles and other issues. About a month ago, we discussed formulating a new policy concerning abandoned vehicles, which would give the city the ability to purchase cars that are, I'll call them like I think of them, which is junk cars that are no longer running. We feel we have several hundred in the city. Most of them are tucked away in someone's backyard or in the side yard. And for us to take those individuals to court, it's a very lengthy and difficult process. In checking with a number of our cities, the best policy that we could find was up in the city of Anderson. Sandra Korblick talked to them and did a lot of research with this and feels that the policy that we have in front of you tonight, whereby we would be able to pay them $75 and they in turn would give us either the title or a bill of sale, and in turn we would be able to take those vehicles and take them to some scrap yard for sale, allows individuals, especially during this economic times, a means of getting rid of it and feeling like they got something out of that vehicle, and yet we get a nuisance out of the lot itself. So our recommendation is that we develop this policy, which will allow us to go ahead and declare what's an abandoned vehicle and then work with the homeowner to allow us to purchase it so we get it out of their neighborhoods and backyard, and then we in turn would tow it to a place for sale. So for City Council consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to amend Chapter 42 of the City Code regarding abandoned vehicles, and if you pass this tonight, a second reading and public hearing would be held at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Sounds like a good idea to me, and I move that we approve it.
Second. Okay. We have a second also. Any discussion?
I have a question. This obviously would apply in the neighborhoods, but would it apply in commercial areas as well, wherever we see an abandoned vehicle?
If there was an abandoned vehicle, that the problem would be, let's say somebody left an abandoned vehicle in a parking lot at a business. We wouldn't know whose it is. So there's language in here concerning abandoned vehicles and then us picking it up. And then we have done this in the past. We'll store in a lot for a period of time, see if anybody claims it. Theoretically, we could look at the VIN number and determine who may own it, or obviously if they have a current tag, who might own it, then we check on it that way.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor?
Public comment.
Is anyone in the audience who wants to comment on this item? Okay.
And Phil Noah's here in Santa Fe.
I'm sorry, you may have raised your hand and I didn't recognize it.
I just had a question, I guess. I don't know if you want to hear it.
That's fine. Right there with the mic.
I'm Jeff Corbett, Wayne's Automotive in Aiken. And I guess some of the questions I have is, because we deal with abandoned cars every day in our business, and the same things y'all have here, and this would definitely make it simpler if y'all took them all. But I was just wondering, when you said, I was just wondering how far y'all were going with it. I mean, y'all like, are y'all purchasing a tow truck? Or
We already have a rollback truck, so that we put them on.
Okay, that was the question I had. So y'all would just, we wouldn't have to worry about any, as far as y'all are concerned, abandoned vehicles, everything would go to the city.
Phil, maybe you want to call your chief?
The owner of the car still has the right, if he wants to,
right,
to call the salvage company and say, hey, I want to sell you my car. Can you come get it? And they can do that.
Well, the majority of the problem we run into is the ones that's in the yard is left. The people don't have the titles, or they got, you know, lien holders. It's not as simple as, you know, you get a call and just say, hey, come remove the car.
Right.
You know, I've had titles. it doesn't usually go that simple. Y'all definitely got more resources than we do to get the information than we do that we have to pay to get, but I'm sure y'all can get it without it. But, I mean, that was just what we was kind of wondering about, that part of it. You know, if that's just going to take all the, you know, all the abandoned vehicles they got with us left on the city streets or I didn't know y'all had a rollback. Y'all were running, you know, day and night, I guess, to haul these vehicles in like they call it.
Now, this is a new policy. We are not in the business of towing vehicles, and we're not going to get in the business of towing vehicles. This is for abandoned vehicles.
Right.
So I don't know how many abandoned, Pete, do we have that many abandoned vehicles on city streets? I've never heard that problem.
Maybe a couple a year.
I can pull out records and show you how many we've had just this year. Just one towing company, if you want to see them compared to the other 15 that's on the list.
In the city limits on city streets.
Yes.
Who calls?
Who's calling them in and asking to remove them?
Public safety.
Okay, well, Pete's here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an ordinary call.
I think we're talking about two different things.
I think we are, too.
We count an abandoned vehicle if somebody leaves their car on the side of the road. And it's there for more than 72 hours, and it's causing a traffic hazard. We're classified as abandoned and towed.
Okay.
And we're just currently doing that. I didn't know that they were going to do it. I didn't know. I was just asking. I guess is the city going to do this day and night?
No, we're not.
We're talking about trash cars in the yard that don't have license plates on them. I mean, they're on private property. We're not talking
okay.
In the street.
It's just stuff that you see, like at people's houses.
Right.
Because
it's
got stuff in here. Like, I guess it's two different things. But the language, how you got about storage and all that, you know, compared to how you can charge storage. Like y'all would charge the customer storage, I guess. If you just pick it up, y'all deem it's abandoned, and I guess, and they say it's not. Y'all will apply, I guess, a towing charge. And
again, we're not planning on picking up vehicles on the street.
Right. But if you do pick it up at somebody's house, are you planning on doing the towing charge to them, the storage?
No, we're going to go ahead and pick it up and take it on to a recycling shop.
Did they give us permission?
Yeah, if you get the title, I understand that. I was wondering about the ones that
It's actually an incentive to clean the yard up, is what it is.
Right.
That's what that is.
Stuff that's, I understand that part, but the ones that didn't, I guess, was the question I was asking.
I mean, the ones you're picking up on the street are cars probably that were running when they were left, but they probably quit running. And then they walked home and then just said, out of heck with it, I'll just leave it there.
Right. Okay, I guess that's what I was asking. I was just say which one, how you decide which one's behind the house not running, and I didn't understand the whole part of it, or whether if it's just somebody's house you're doing it, and it's not it.
We're trying to get rid of derelict cars that have been abandoned in the neighborhoods.
Right, okay. That was my question.
So you'll continue to get some calls from public safety.
Yeah, where are you talking about that? If it was everywhere to see all our public safety of the house.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, we might want to consider reworking this definition of abandoned vehicles, because right now, as it's written, it applies to everything that this gentleman deals with and what we propose to deal with. So maybe we could put a sentence that abandoned vehicles for the purpose of this ordinance is defined as, and clarify it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. But it applies to both of them the way it's written.
One of the questions is, we've got signs like the Walmart, Church of Holland, Brooklyn, Sloan, Golden, Bishop Officer, USC, Bilo, Blue Line, and most of them. A phenomenal place around. That when there's a part of that that's, we've all got talk to them, content about moving. But what this reads includes all of this.
Mr. Smith, if I may, what I think we're doing is, there was an existing code section in the city code that talked about taking care of abandoned vehicles if they were left on the side of the road, like Mr. Corbett was talking about. We're amending that code section to say, and oh, by the way, if there are cars in somebody's yard that don't run, we're going to offer an incentive program to move those cars. Mm-hmm. So, this code section should talk about abandoned vehicles, but it should also talk about the derelict vehicles that we're talking about incentivizing to clean up.
Well, maybe we could define abandoned vehicles for the incentivized program. I mean, just to clarify it so we're not stepping on each other.
What part would you change, Dick, that you're looking at? that, I mean, have you got a few words there that you...
I don't really. I understand what Gary is saying, is that the ordinance is all-inclusive, but we're adding to the ordinance an incentive program to clean up the neighborhoods, and if, in fact, we only propose to remove vehicles on private property in residential neighborhoods, then maybe we could define the abandoned vehicles for that portion of the ordinance as those that are in residential areas on private property and so forth, because, as he points out, there are abandoned vehicles sometimes in parking lots and businesses, in other places in the city that we still need an ordinance to deal with, or in the public highways.
I guess we felt like on page 4, where it talks about removal of abandoned vehicles, one, it talks about some on private property, on public property, and then it talks about it also on the next page on private property. Again, we can look at this. I'll have our folks call up Jeff and see what language he has a problem with, and see if we can get it worked out.
Is this, does Anderson have a copy? We looked at them. Do they?
I believe this is similar to what.
But it seems to me that 4281 answers the abandoned question,
does.
And 4282 answers the derelict question.
Okay.
I mean, if you're following.
We all read it.
I mean, if there's a better way of clarifying, we'd be happy to do so.
But. Yeah. Well, I'm fine if you are.
Okay. Do you want to look at that for second reading then when it comes back to us?
I'll go ahead and take a look at this, and okay. If we need to clean it up, we will. If we have to delay it by one meeting, that'd be fine.
Okay. We were in the middle of voting on that item. Let's vote on it again. All in favor on first reading? Okay. Passes unanimously.
And what we will do is, again, like with other ordinances, if we find, because again, we're not trying to get into picking them up on public right-of-way or in commercial lots. We're trying to get rid of the derelict vehicles. If we see that there is a problem in the language, even after we pass it, we can always come back to you and make those changes.
And you'll speak with Mr. Corbett about what sentences you have problems with.
Okay. Item 2, under new business, first reading of an ordinance amending the city code adopting flood damage prevention ordinance.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title only. It's an ordinance to amend the city code to establish new section 45-1 et sequence so as to continue to apply the Federal Emergency Management Agency FEMA flood insurance rate map to all existing as well as annexed properties to be within the Aiken city limits. I think it was back in May, we passed ordinance concerning some new stormwater ordinance language that the state wanted. When we did that, we failed to see that the state also wanted us to include some additional language. Again, it's a model language that they have asked the rest of the state to do concerning floodplain insurance. And so this will get us within the requirements that FEMA and the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is requiring. Without passing this, individuals who live in a floodplain could not purchase floodplain insurance. So it's pretty important for those individuals. But again, this is we essentially copied verbatim everything that the state gave us for this ordinance. So it's they want us to adopt it as you see it before you tonight. So this is first reading of an ordinance to amend the Aiken City Code to allow homeowners to continue to apply for FEMA flood insurance. Upon your approval, a second reading and public hearing would be held.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I have two questions. Where in the city is the floodplain map for the city of Aiken?
Be at the engineer's office with Public Works.
Okay. And when there are changes made to that, that add areas to the floodplain requiring insurance, is there any publication of that?
Changes to the floodplain map?
If they change the floodplain map.
Has the flood, where's Larry? Has the floodplain map been changed any time recently?
The federal FEMA agency, which is in charge of that, periodically will look at it. We've had one change in 20 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not something they change our conditions have not changed here in Aiken that would require changes.
I wasn't worrying about the conditions in Aiken. I was worrying about the conditions at FEMA. Thank you.
Following on with Dick's question, when it is changed, Larry, the one time, how does that affect the citizens that may be living in that area? And are they notified? And who's responsible for notifying them, the city or the state or?
The FEMA would be responsible for publishing that for public notice, and they would do that in paper, Aiken Standard, which is the paper circulation here. The one change that they had was in the Price Avenue area, which did not have any homes in it. That was when a developer was looking at developing the whole area prior to the city and ACOLT obtaining some of the property. And the developer actually paid for a revised flood map to be done by a local engineering firm. The process took about 18 months of the flood map was changed. Our biggest problem with the flood maps right now is we would like to see them updated more rapidly.
Right.
A lot of the flood maps that we have, where Hounds Lake is shown, says Jeep trails. And that's basically what we have to work with.
Jeep trails?
Jeep trails.
Okay.
So it shows you how old they are.
Do we need to do something, or what could we do to get it updated more often if there are changes that need to be made?
We are on the list, and if there are changes that need to be made, we normally will tell the developer to write a letter to FEMA, and then that gets them on the list to take a look at it more often. And that's about the best we can do at this point.
Okay. So there's no liability on the city's part. Is that true or not?
I'd have to bow to Mr. Smith on that one. But since the city does not have any control over these maps, I would not think there would be any liability on the city. They are strictly a federal product being done by FEMA. We don't do anything with them.
The only reason I raise the issue, Mr. Mayor, is if they're changed and people aren't aware of the change and they want to get a loan to make a home improvement or they want to sell the house, all of a sudden now you've got to have flood insurance, and that's going to significantly affect the value on the property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question.
So, yeah, and I learned it the hard way. But it's important that the public know when the FEMA map is changed. It really is.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. Okay, item 3. We did vote on that, did we?
No.
Huh? No.
We did not.
We did not. Okay. We just had a lot of discussion. Okay. All in favor of passing that on first reading? Show of hands. Passed unanimously. Item 3, appointment to the city solicitor. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. When we hired Richard Pierce as our new assistant city manager, we then went and made a search for a new city solicitor staff attorney. An interview team consisting of Pete Frommer, Sabina Craig, Richard Pierce, and Kenneth Cook interviewed 5 individuals. They narrowed it down to 3, and then I had an opportunity to talk to all 3 of them. And we have selected an individual who is here tonight, Ben Moore, who has an extensive amount of service and time with the solicitor's office. He's been working with the solicitor's office for 12 years now and heading up the Bamberg-Barnwell area. He's got a vast amount of knowledge concerning the procedural area with the prosecution. He has lived in Aiken for the last 12 years and currently lives in Crawls Park, one of the areas that we're been discussing and working with, and is a deacon at his church. We feel we have a very excellent candidate here and are presenting him here tonight, asking that you pass the attached resolution appointing Ben Moore as our new city court solicitor. And Ben, would you just stand up so those that may not know you would know who we're talking about tonight?
Yeah. Ben, if you have anything you'd like to say, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you. I would just like to say that I would be honored to have the position. I'm excited about it, and I look forward to hopefully working with all of you. And I'd answer any questions you may have before you vote if you need to.
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
Mr. Mayor, I have a question to Roger. How many applicants do you have total to apply to, you know, just the five?
I know we interviewed the five, and I'm not too sure how many beyond that we had.
So we can assume just five applied?
Yeah, at least five applied. Some of them were looking for part-time work while they could go ahead and continue working as an attorney here in town. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you could say they applied, mm-hmm. but we had to tell them, no, we were looking for a full-time person for this position.
Then we're glad to have you.
Well, thank you.
Who's the gentleman with you?
The gentleman with me is my pastor from South Asian Baptist Church, Michael Dyer.
Michael, we're happy to have you here with us too tonight.
I tell you, vouch for this gentleman.
Do you vouch for this gentleman, Ben? I know. Okay. Since we have to vote on this, do we have a motion and a second?
I move we approve this applicant as our city court solicitor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second as well. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands for approval. Okay, passes unanimously. Ben, thank you very much for being our new city solicitor.
And he'll be starting with us next week, Monday.
Oh, boy.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. Look forward to having you on the team. Okay, that ends the
agenda. Before we close, I just have a question to ask Roger. In our package, okay. There was a reply to Mrs. Ozie Lloyd and her in our package regarding the zoning in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Have we mailed that information to her? How do we get back to her to let her know that what was discovered based on?
We could certainly mail that to her. You know, this is exactly what we told her at the meeting, that it was GB and had been that way for a number of decades. But I mean, if you want, we could go ahead and mail her.
I think, in fairness to her, that needs to be mailed. We left her with, we will check into it, and this may only say that this validates it, but just to leave her holding. I think we need to get back with her. And 1968, that area's been zoned. That was kind of...
Or earlier. We can only go back to 68 with the records that we looked at. Could have been from the 50s or the 40s.
Well, when did we start having zoning?
That's what...
In the 40s, I believe. 47. So we know that as of at least 1968, it was GB. And could very easily have been even longer ago than beyond that. But I will go ahead and send her a letter tomorrow.
Is it on the corner of the east, the southeast
corner? That we're so it's that about. Whole block there. You, if you look at the map.
I see it. Uh-huh.
And she was concerned about the southeast corner where a barber shop is supposedly going in at that corner. The next block over has a couple of houses and then it has the Second Baptist Church.
And then to the east of this lot is that the empty lot at the corner of Lawrence and Hampton?
That is correct, which used to be a grocery store.
Okay, and is that where the barbershop's going to be or on the other piece of property?
It's on the other corner.
Where the gray house is.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
On Pendleton, the corner of Pendleton.
It's not obvious right now, is it, that that's what it's going to
well,
be?
Well, I've seen some cars. There's some cars parked on the side right in opposite from her home. That's where they park on that side street, it looks like.
And then there's a couple of other homes next to it, but again, those are the whole area is zoned general business.
I wonder how the rest of the property owners in that block feel about that, or if they're, I don't know.
Well, she brought some with her the other evening that she came at our last meeting, yes. And they were all seniors that came with her.
Okay.
That's my request.
Okay, I will definitely do that.
That's a good point, Leslie. Anything else? If not, we stand adjourned. You go to this.
Economic